If you're one of these guys that's going to live like a pig and treat your wife any old way, you may as well stop praying.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. People need people. Ever heard that expression? This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will bring the second part of his message, taken from the book of Genesis account of the first marriage, Adam and Eve. Pastor Grant brings out of his account how one of the most important reasons God created marriage between the first man and the first woman was for the purpose of companionship between two like individuals. Here now is Pastor Grant again with the conclusion of How to Tune Up Your Marriage.
We have to spend time developing companionship. Companionship takes time. We gotta hang together, and sometimes we fool ourselves into believing we're cultivating companionship because we're home. But we're home before the TV watching the game. We're not interacting with our spouse. Companionship takes time. So if you're guilty, may God help us to do everything we can not to allow the devil to put us in his trap. Amen? And that we may demonstrate by our lives that we recognize how important companionship is, that this is priority for God, and that we will put priority on it, that we will not be so quick and willing to go hang out with the guys or with the girls. You know, a lot of married people, instead of hanging with their spouse, they're hanging out with somebody else. Oh, that you can do that every now and then, but for crying out loud, you hardly ever spend time with your spouse, but you're spending time with everybody else. Listen, you can expect trouble. Companionship, to develop companionship, it takes effort. But oh, I tell you, if you take it, it's going to be worth it, because you'll find out the thrill is not gone. Amen? But here's a second trap. Satan often uses our family to damage companionship. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 tells us, therefore a man shall what? You know, there's a good reason why God puts that in there. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Be joined to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. Listen, we love our families, but we got to be careful. I've met many husbands who are still mama's boys. Whatever mama wants, mama gets. Am I right about that? You ever see that happen? In fact, I've met sons. Every day on his way, he has to call mama. He's got to stop and see mama every single day. But many wives are also like that. They'll rush to give mama or dada whatever they want. Whatever mama or dada wants, they get, no matter how it impacts their family. Now, please don't get me wrong. Because God expects us, we must honor our parents, amen? It is a sin against God when we don't honor our parents. We are to honor them, amen? We cannot abandon our parents. And as our parents get older, sometimes they get sick and they require a significant amount of our attention. And listen, if you're married and you say, oh, it's my wife's wife, that does not excuse you, because the two became one. If you are married and your in-law is sick, you have to jump in as well. Amen? We're in this together. And do you know the amazing thing is, even as we serve our parents together, companionship is being built. Am I right about that? Just think of that. As we serve together, companionship is being built. But may God help us. If you're having that problem, listen. If you're one of those who believe you're really having a problem, write this down. Some folks don't believe that they're free, okay? Sometimes you have a mom or a dad who is so demanding, they want all of your time. Do you know that some people have that? It's really dad or mom. I need it. Write this in your notes. If you're having that problem, start thinking of your wedding day as Emancipation Day. The day you decided that although you still love your parents, your love and your commitment to your spouse has to take precedence over your commitment to any other human on the planet. Amen? I think you're missing that last fill-in. I believe there's a fill-in after that, okay? Start thinking of your wedding. Well, I may not actually have it, but it's okay. All right. You say, what about our children? Shouldn't they be our priority? You know, some people say, oh, you ever run into parents like that? I don't have time for my husband today. I have the children. It's always the children. And so you may come and say, Pastor, should my children be the priority? You better believe they better not be your priority. Because one of them days, those kids, bye-bye, mama. Bye-bye, daddy. Amen. And so you had better make sure that you're cultivating companionship with your husband. Oh, I know some of you have some challenges at home, and that's for another time. We'll come and talk about that in one of the other messages. But for those of you who are getting along pretty well, grab a hold of these things. Prioritize efforts to develop companionship. First, cultivate companionship. Second, commit to practicing God's love daily. Romantics have said that love is a feeling you feel when you feel like you've never felt before. You ever heard that? Love is a feeling that you feel when you feel like you've never felt before. On the other hand, I've heard many who say, love is not a feeling, it's an action. So which is it? Is love a feeling or an action? Well, let me start by admitting that I'm glad love includes feelings. Feeling, oh, love, all those feelings. Loving feelings can be incredibly wonderful. Can I hear an amen? But friends, we cannot depend only on feelings, for sometimes marriages pass through challenges that may cause the feelings to run thin. But even when the feelings may be frayed, if we continue to submit to God and His Word, He can restore those feelings of love again. And I want to just park a moment here. Because I believe there's somebody listening today who, if you're honest, some of those feelings are gone. They're dying down. So if things aren't going well in your marriage, don't raise your hand and tell us who it is. But if things are not going well, instead of giving up, because part of the problem with the Christian church is that too many pastors are saying, if things aren't going well, walk away and find somebody else. But my Bible seems to suggest that when things are not going well, we should double down and make a recommitment to God, and instead of giving up, we should, write this down. We should commit to showing love. Amen? We could commit to showing love. 1 Corinthians 13 is often called the love chapter, for in that chapter, God tells us some of the key things love does and some of the key things it does not do. So it's not just about the feelings. And those of you who are single, pay attention, though, because some of this is going to come in handy for you one day. Some of the things love does. Amen? God tells. So I'm going to put, we have 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7 on the board and on the screen. We may as well read them together. Amen? Love is patient. Read with me. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Amen? Listen, love is patient. Let's just look at a couple of the verses to see some of the things that love is. Amen? What are some of the things you see there? Love is what? Patient. Are you being patient? It is what? Love is what? Love is kind. Love rejoices when the truth wins. Love never gives up. Amen? Are you awake? All right? Love never gives up. Right now, there is somebody under the sound of my voice who is being tempted to give up. And God has a word for you today, because of what word of God is saying to you. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Amen. Love is always hopeful. My brother and sister, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, keep hoping. Amen. It endures through every circumstance, yes. Sometimes love is going to require buckling down and saying, oh God, give me the help and the grace and the strength to endure. It endures through every circumstances. But let's look at some of the things. Those are some of the things that love is. But look at some of the things it's not. Love is not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It's not rude. Can you imagine that sometimes spouses are rude with each other? Are you one of them rude spouses? And the next minute you say, oh, but I love you. Love is not what? Rude. It does not demand its own way. It's either my way or the highway. And my Bible is saying to us, love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It does not keep a record of being wronged. Though I have a big book, a black book of all the things he did or she did wrong, it does not keep a record of wrong. Amen. It never gives up. Amen. And it endures through every circumstances. What a difference it would make if by the grace and the power of the Spirit of God, every married person would make a commitment today. Oh God, help me to love my spouse the way you talk about. If we're serious about tuning up our marriage, let's ask ourselves the questions that I've heard. You know, I've heard people say, I will forgive, but I will never forget. They made a decision not to forget. So whenever the spouse does anything, they not only get hysterical, they get historical. they bring up every transgression from the past. Listen, none of us can wave a magic wand that makes us forget. Do you realize that we don't have the power to forget? You realize that? You can't decide, I'm going to forget. The way you forget is by not bringing it up. And after a while, little by little, the facts of the matter start drifting away. Amen? Little by little, because I don't bring it up. So may God help us that we will stop bringing things up. Amen? First, we must cultivate companionship. Second, we must practice God's love daily. And here's the third thing I want to leave with you today before we quit. We must recognize the grass is greenest where you water it. You know, my neighbor's grass is always greener than mine. You might say, Pastor, why? Well, these guys next, he has a state-of-the-art sprinkler system that waters his grass every day. It probably gets watered more than once a day. Where my grass depends on the grace of God. My lawn is primarily watered by God's rain from heaven. So whenever you're upset about the rain, think of me. Just think and say, Lord, thank you for helping Pastor Brian today, because his grass is getting some of the raindrops from heaven, raindrops falling from heaven to keep his grass green. Listen, the grass is greenest where you water it. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Husbands, are you watering your grass? I'm not talking about that grass. You know what I'm talking about, right? Are you watering it? You know, turn if you would to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And don't worry, I'm starting to on my wind down ways. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if they do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. In other words, the word of God is telling you, a wife, it's good to dress and look fine. A husband appreciates when his wife looks good. But he says, don't let the focus of your beauty be what is on the outside. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. And here is the verse that I really want to focus on. It's verse number 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. This is incredible. These verses were written in a culture and at a time when men were dominant. You have heard the stories that at this time, a wife had to walk several paces behind her husband. It was all about the husband. And although it was written in that context, the Spirit of God, as he penned these words for our instruction, he is saying to the husband, dwell with your wife with understanding. He's saying to husbands, the grass is what? Greenest. Where you water it. And so instead of walking around like the big shot in charge, because the society told you that you're Mr. Big, God is saying, regardless of what they say, here's what I am saying. Dwell with your wife in an understanding way, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together. Husband, you thought it was all about you, but I want you to know you are heirs together. Amen. Of the grace of life. And then he says that your prayers may not be hindered. He's saying, husband, if you're one of these guys that's going to live like a pig and treat your wife any old way, you may as well stop praying. In a culture where the guy was the big shot, God says, listen, remember, the grass is greenest where you water it. And remember, God is looking to see how much watering you are doing. So as I close this message today, I want to talk to every husband. The message is for every husband and every wife, but there's a huge challenge because we're in this society where we still think we should get everything we want. And yet God has put us as leaders in our homes so that we can set the example God desires. Amen. As a leader, as the father in my home, my responsibility is to model for my wife, but primarily also for my children, what it means to be a man of God, a child of God, that perhaps they, by my example, may find beauty in Jesus. Are you watering your grass? Oh, I pray that you will. You know, God ordained marriage and desires that every marriage should thrive. I'm so thankful that by the grace of God, he has helped us. There are some marriages that were totally on the rocks, but by the grace of God, we have seen God restore them. And God can restore yours. Listen, but it's going to take humility. It's going to take a willingness to submit to God. And God is willing to help anyone whose marriage is in trouble. But it starts by saying, Lord, I need your help, and I'm willing to submit to doing things your way. And if that's your prayer, I'm going to pray for you today. Perhaps you're not sure you're a Christian yet. Listen, it starts by coming to Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure Jesus Christ lives in your heart, you may be watching online or you may be receiving this message on the radio. No matter where it is that you hear this message, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, it begins by your inviting him into your heart and submitting your life to him, to his lordship, where you are determined, God, it's not my way, but your way. I want to live your way, God. I want to obey you. And then, Lord, I'm trusting you that you will help me in my marriage, that my marriage may be one that brings glory to you. And if that's your desire, I pray that you'll do something about it today.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.